Welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on non-Christmas movies. I am Kayla Claus, and I am here with my co-host,
Rudolph, ready to light the way into the dark abyss.
Great.
You know, we never have said this, but I think we really missed out. We should have always said, like, have a very merry secondhand film Christmas. Secondhand film Christmas. It rolls off the tongue, a bit of a pun. It has it all. It is, I can't believe we're already here. End of the year-ish.
Yeah, I mean,
this comes out, like, right before Thanksgiving, so we're right on the cusp of the most wonderful time of the year.
Truly. Thanksgiving.
not Thanksgiving.
On the cusp of Christmas, though.
Yes.
Which we Christmas, truly
the holidays.
Love.
Just, do people love Christmas just because it's like the end of the year and they're just ready to have another year? I don't know.
I think there's a lot of factors to it. I think that adds to the spirit of the holiday.
It's just like, we're finally done. Finally.
But we are talking about Christmas movies, but we're not talking about Christmas movies quite.
Right. It's like, that's why we did it this time.
Pseudo Christmas episode. So it's easing into the Christmas season because we do still have one more like normal episode before we hit some of our Christmas content.
Yeah. And then we also have randomly Avatar The Way of Water in there as well, but which is Christmas for me. So it can still be Christmas. This is we're talking about almost Christmas movies in this episode. So probably exactly what you think of when you hear that, just like movies that have Christmas in them or have something Christmassy. Maybe they take place at the holiday season, but they're not specifically dubbed as holiday movies.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about some of those, joined by Joe Miller again. If any of you remember, if you are longtime listeners, or I guess from the last year, he was on a triple feature we did this year on movies that break the fourth wall. And this was another pitch he made for one of the triple features we could do, which was talk about three different almost Christmas movies. And we thought that was a great idea, but we wanted to do something with it closer to the actual season. So,
yes.
So we kept that one in the bag, and now we pulled it out of we kept that one in Santa's bag. And now we're pulling it out
for some Christmas magic. Let's go. Ho,
let's
ho,
go. Christmas ho. Magic. Before we get into that, though, we do have to get into some of our answers to last week's question of the week, which, if you don't know, we ask a question at the end of every episode. And then in the next episode, we read some of the answers that we got to it. If you want to skip this segment and just go right to the almost Christmas stuff, you can go to the timestamp in the description. But let's get into it here. We've got a few interesting ones, a few ones I expected, but also there's a couple maybe left fielders. So like, okay, we have Hunter here.
Well, he says, you want to read the question?
That's also a great idea. The question is, what is your favorite piece of media in Marvel's Phase 4?
Yes.
So that could be not Riveting. Just the movies, but really, really get diving into what makes cinema tick in this question. Martin Scorsese would love to hear his answer to this question. Do you think he's watched anything?
I feel like he has. I feel like it's impossible to avoid at least some. Here's what I think. I think he probably watched some of the OG stuff.
Of course.
Because at that point, it wasn't like it was franchise, like a franchise.
Right. Like Iron Man.
Yeah, probably. Iron Man, First Avenger, Thor, like those couple ones that were in
more
there.
Just,
and then
once
it started ballooning into something that was not as like the copy and paste per se of movies, I think he said, this is
not
no longer cinema.
Yeah, I think he was a big Phase 1 guy. And as the phases went on, less and less. But do you think he's watched anything from phase four?
Good question.
Spider-Man, maybe. I think Spider-Man.
I feel like he didn't watch Spider-Man.
But he likes the Tobey Maguire ones. And didn't Andrew Garfield did a movie with him?
Yeah, but I feel like, I'm trying to think, the one that I could see him maybe watching is the werewolf special. Only because that's the only one that like feels like it has something like very unique about it that actually like sets it apart from other ones.
I could also see WandaVision because that was during the pandemic. And so maybe
you think he was just casually putting on WandaVision.
And maybe someone in his family, like his daughter or something, maybe they were watching it, you know?
Interesting.
And maybe he was like, you know, I got to get on this. And or just, he was just in the living room reading something and it was just on. And then he got hooked in by the theme song.
What do you think Martin Scorsese's take is on the ice cream song?
I think he has notes, but he appreciates the emotional significance of the ice cream song. And I do think there's a chance he maybe saw at least some scenes from that one, because it is Sam Raimi. Maybe he watched, like, top horror scenes on YouTube, like a compilation.
Sure.
We got way off track. What? We have Hunter here on Instagram. He said Spider-Man No Way Home, a classic choice. Probably what a lot of people would say. Definitely the biggest movie of this phase for sure.
Spider-Man, No Way, Ho, Ho, Home.
Mike also said Spider-Man, No Way Home, but he did give he went either Spider-Man, No Way Home or Werewolf by Night.
Ooh.
So you got like that most popular one, but also the indie pick, you know?
Yeah, probably the least popular one and the most popular one.
Yeah, for sure.
Interesting. Yeah, Zach Smith also said probably No Way Home.
Yeah, The Way Home's the big winner here.
I think it's also the one that everyone has seen. Like,
that's true.
Since it's the most popular one out of Phase 4, I feel like everyone has seen it, so it's easier to say that one.
Remember when everyone was, like, big on the Shang-Chi train, and we weren't, and now no one talks about Shang-Chi? I really think we were ahead of the curve a little bit on that
one. I still see a few people talking about Shang-Chi, but I definitely think, like, people do not nearly as much, because I like remember seeing it all over, and now it's like there's just a couple few fans of it that I know.
Yeah, I just think like people were dubbing it as like the next best Marvel movie for the first like month, but we did not fall for the hype. We stuck fast
that
to our
dragon
beliefs.
Scene just
the dragon scene was something else. It was a dark time.
The first like 35 minutes of the movie were good,
yeah, as we said, but then once they got to like the cave or whatever and they had that like a little fluffy creature, that is when it really fell off the rails.
I saw a tweet that said that creature thing like sold like so much
really
stuff for Disney, and I was like, I literally have never seen any kid wearing
this?
Anything from that character.
Who is all just like probably collectors, like all the weird collectors, like when I was working at Target there was like people stalking like the toy section looking for like the most random things. A guy came up to me and was like, do you know when you get your Ninja Turtle shipments in? Because I just really want to know what day I can come in to make sure I can get all the Ninja Turtles for my collection. And like, I literally have no idea what day the Ninja Turtle merchandise stuff comes in. I'm sorry. He's like, can you ask? I'm like, no one knows when the Ninja Turtle stuff comes in. So maybe those who are buying the little fluffy guy. Lastly, we also have Dan here, Danny. He worded this weird because maybe he thought we were only talking about movies. Because he said, I'll have to pass, but Loki, because Loki is the only contender. So maybe he was thinking we just meant movies, but Loki is definitely an option because we just said media.
Yeah.
And that would be mine as well. I think Martin Scorsese would enjoy Loki.
You
know?
Think?
I think it has a good lead performance at the center of it. He might fall off at like the multiple Loki episodes.
Yeah, I was
like
gonna say
crocodile.
What does he think of alligator Loki? That's what I want to know. I
the
need
penultimate
Scorsese's
episode would
take.
would maybe knock him off. But there's some philosophical pontificating in the last episode, so it might have got him back on
That was a big word.
I know.
That you just too use
philosophical <I'm> like... pontificating.
I was like, wow, we're like, are we an educated podcast now?
We all of a sudden our name turns to the first-hand film critics with the use of that phrase. Let's jump then right into the episode for some more philosophical pontificating. Joined by our friend Joe Miller. We'll go to a quick ad break, and then when we come back, we'll be talking about almost Christmas movies.
And we're back.
And we are joined once again by Joe Miller. You are on our a triple feature this year, one of two. We've had two triple features this year. And it was a great time, and so we have invited you back graciously on our part, I will say.
Mostly because we're
very gracious hosts.
Mostly because we stole this idea from you. So we were like...
Yeah, this was an idea you had originally for a triple feature.
This was your idea, one of the potential triple features, and we were like, oh, we should do that in the winter. And then I was like, we should probably have Joe do it since he gave us the idea.
Yes.
Since, like, you guys said, like, oh, like, we do triple features, usually when I listen to the podcast, I never look at the titles. I'm just like, okay, new secondhand film critics, let's just punch her in. And then I just drive to wherever I have to drive. It just keeps me company. And then when you were like, oh, yeah, think of a triple feature, I can't stop now. Every movie needs to be grouped with another two.
Yes, exactly.
It's like a subconscious thing.
That's the effect we want to have on film culture.
Well, because we do that. We 100% do that.
Every time I watch a movie, I'm like, man, this would go great with these other movies. Yeah. And I create like this scenario in my head where I'm like a Quentin Tarantino and I own my own movie theater and I just show movies. Like,
oh, yeah.
You guys have to watch them now. Because that's what he does, is he just shows movies at his theater. That's what I would do. That's the dream.
Yeah, so this is, it's not a triple, it is a triple feature, but it is also not a triple feature. So this is like a pseudo triple feature.
Kind of like how these are going to be kind of Christmas movies, but also not Christmas movies. It's really in the spirit
of
the theme.
Yeah, so we each have kind of picked a movie that we're going to like sort of highlight a little bit, but we're also going to be talking about some other movies and just kind of the concept of these almost Christmas movies, if you will.
Yeah, I think this has been a big topic in the last like 10-15 years. Like ever since the internet got a little bigger, people are looking for things to argue about, I guess. And so it's just a very easy pick because you have the classic Christmas movies like The Grinch or It's a Wonderful Life or the Santa Claus movie. So there's the ones that everyone knows are Christmas movies, but there's always going to be one person when you say, like, what's your favorite Christmas movie? And one guy was like, it's probably Batman Returns. There's always going to be that guy. And then you're going to have the conversation, inevitably, about what counts as a Christmas movie.
You know, I read an argument when I was researching movies for this that It's a Wonderful Life could technically be an almost Christmas movie.
Why? Because it's kind of a New Year's Eve movie?
Yeah, because it's kind of a movie that like is around the time and then there happens to be like a Christmas tree.
Well, we'll talk about what we both all think are our requirements, because I think we'll have some differing opinions on what are almost Christmas movies and what are Christmas movies. And this is also kind of like just for fun. Like I really am so done with like the Die Hard debate specifically. So obviously, if you want to watch any of these movies around Christmas time, you are free to do so. It's just like a fun little exercise.
Noah will not stop you, ladies and gentlemen. You can go.
I will
right
not
in
come
and
to
watch
your house
any movie
and
you want
break
to
your TV. No, you cannot watch this movie in December. Wait till January. Do we want to just like say what our movies that we're highlighting are, and then we can maybe just kind of get into a conversation about them?
Yeah, sure. So I picked Catch Me If You Can.
I did Little Women.
The original, right? The 1994, right?
Yes.
And then I picked The Apartment. And so we've got varying decades here, right? Because The Apartment is 1960, then 94, and then Catch Me If You Can is
2002.
So this has been a trend going back all the way to the early days of film.
Mm.
And, you know, filmmakers love to use Christmas as like a motif, but sometimes they just don't want to go full in on like the Christmas movie. Maybe because that there's like a, I don't know.
A Christmas movie's a harder sell.
Christmas movie's hard to sell, and it also feels very limiting, I feel like sometimes. Like, it feels like you have to have certain elements to make a Christmas movie, I guess.
Yeah.
Or to sell yourself as, and it also feels like you're limiting your audience, because kind of like maybe animation, I think there's like a assumption in culture that's like, oh, Christmas movies are for like families and for the kids. So it's like you're kind of setting your movie up not for failure, but like it's a harder thing to sell, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Plus you have such a small window. You've got like December basically, or you can do the thing where you're like, this movie is going to drop on Christmas, and then like,
oh my gosh, like, Sing why? Vibes right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, you're right. Yeah, it's the theater release is weird. And I know people don't really care about physical releases anymore, but maybe like 6 years ago, I remember it was always like a weird thing how they did physical releases, because they would release it in theaters. And then sometimes they would wait like 9 months before it came out on Blu-ray or something, because like no one's going to buy the Santa Claus 3 in March. Like, it doesn't really sell. So it is a weird like industry of Christmas movies. And I think some of these movies, they're a lot more flexible, because you can watch a lot of these not on Christmas, but there's something that you can be like, if some of these I feel like have a certain magic if you do watch them around the holidays. So it can fit both molds, which is what I like, because I can watch The Apartment whenever I want to. But if I want to watch it around Christmas, it does have like a certain extra sparkle to it during the Christmas scenes, where I'm like, wow, this is just like my life. I am living.
You
in
are
the
living
apartment.
In an apartment that you are selling to your, or using your boss to let him have it and have sexual encounters.
That's actually an auto. It's a biography of me.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Noah wants to run a brothel in his,
his apartment. Basically,
that's what I did for career day. Actually. I was like, I one day will be running a brothel.
No, it's going to be the best damn mistress in wait, was it New Hampshire or Vermont? I always forget this.
New Hampshire.
Best damn mistress in New Hampshire.
That's what it will say on my business card. Yeah. Why don't you guys, so Joe, with Little Women, I know you like this one a lot, but like, for Christmas especially, is there a reason you picked this one as opposed to the more recent?
I think what's kind of weird about a lot of movies is they'll be like, all right, Christmas is the special time and the rest of the year is the default. Do you know what I'm talking about? It'll be like the default is summertime, and that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get that at all. So I feel like for Little Women, like a big chunk of it, not even just like Christmas, like a big chunk of it happens during the winter. Like, they're ice skating in a scene that's not really Christmassy, just kind of wintry. At one point they take a ride home, and I guess it's not snowy at this time, but it's still like they talk about it being cold. Lori offers a ride home to one of the Marsh sisters, and it's supposed to be kind of a like a November-y kind of vibe, which I qualify as Christmas, or not Christmas, but winter at least. And I don't know. I don't really get why movies are like super like summer heavy, I guess.
That's definitely true. It's like summer, then it'll cut, and then it's right. Oh, the tree and the lights and the snow. Yeah. And then next scene it's like, okay, back to summer, baby. We're done with this.
So to me, it's just like that is like almost a Christmas movie. Not quite, but almost.
Yeah. One thing specifically comparing it to the newer one that I find with this one, because I think both of them are really good for different reasons. And they're both very different movies, which is why I think it's weird when people try to compare them. Mm. I think this one feels a lot more cozy than the newer one. The cinematography is a lot warmer, and the sets feel a little bit more lived in, I would say, which isn't like a knock against the new one, but it's just like a different kind of set. And the newer one feels a little bit more fresh, not knocking the other one, but like it feels a little bit more modern. There's a lot more forward motion in it, and so I feel like the 1994 one is a better one for Christmas, because it just feels a little bit more homey, and like when I definitely watch it, I feel just like, I don't know, it's like a very comforting movie. And
very literary as well. So like, it really feels like you're just like sitting down by the fire and reading Little Women, but instead I'm sitting by the fire and watching Little Women. Yeah, I think this one,
take
like,
that quote out of context.
Yeah, let's move along. And I would say this one I would is one of the ones I would very almost consider like an actual Christmas movie.
I think, yeah, no, like out of these three, I feel like this one is the most like it, when you're watching it during a not snowy time, it feels the most wrong, I would say.
That's true. Out of these three. Definitely. Catch Me If You Can is an interesting one because there are a lot of scenes that don't take place at Christmas, but there are some very pivotal scenes that do. So it's a lot different than Little Women because I think like there are a lot of scenes that aren't Christmassy, but there are very pivotal moments that revolve around the Christmas season. Kayla, do you want to talk about why?
Yeah, I mean, this one's interesting because I think it doesn't fit the aesthetic of Christmas, but it gives you like some vibes. Like it's not all like you watch it and you think, oh, this is a great movie to watch in December, like Little Women is, or this is a great movie to watch on a cozy day when it's snowing outside. But it's one that if you watched it in December, it might hit a little different, you know?
True.
Like
true.
The holidays, it might hit different when you're like, oh man, I don't have anyone to call on the holidays either. So I'm calling the guy who's chasing
me. I
really
relate to Leonardo DiCaprio in this scene.
But like, I think all the biggest emotional beats of the film revolve around Christmas. So like the kind of moment with there's a moment with his family in the beginning, and then the different times when he connects with Tom Hanks, it like they all take place on like Christmas Eve, basically. Right. And then the final like scene. Yeah.
The best scene in the movie. Honestly, it's
yeah,
a
also
scene.
Like falls into that. And I think it has a lot to say about kind of loneliness and the kind of people that like you want to be around and the connections that you can make or the friendships you can have. And I think that's what makes it an almost Christmas movie is it's one that you can watch every year. But watching it, like you said, with the apartment, like at every like if you watch it in December, you're going to be like, yeah. True.
Yeah, definitely.
Like Christmas.
Well, and I think like especially that ending scene hits a lot harder if it is Christmas. Like that is just such a well done scene, I think. And with the Nat King Cole song playing, it just like captures the Christmas feeling so well and the holidays so well in that scene. I think that's like was a perfect song choice. And then I love how they keep it playing even after like he gets in the cop car and they kind of leave the house, like they still keep the song going. I think that was a really smart choice. And you're right, yeah, it's like there's a lot that doesn't take place at Christmas, but those really pivotal emotional moments, they I think intentionally set those at Christmas time because it is a holiday that usually hits emotionally harder than like St. Patrick's Day. I don't know. What are the other holidays?
It would be really weird if he was like calling up Hand Ready on St. Patrick's Day and he was Saint like, Patrick's got no one to spend it with. You're alone. You
got like, no one to drink with on St. Patrick's Day. Not yeah. even a leprechaun.
Yeah. No. And oh I really, God. It's so like in my head, like when I hear Nat King Cole, I think, oh, this is a triumphant kind of a tune. Like this is not a sad song. In Catch Me If You Can, it is explicitly sad. Like there is no misreading that. When you see, because you can see his face in the like rear view, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
As
no,
the cop
definitely.
Car's backing up, and like it's like, whoa, that is like really, really sad. It's very creative.
Yeah. I think it's like I don't think they change the recording or alter the recording, but like you hear like those strings, I think, a lot more. Because it's like the sadness. So I think when I'm hearing it out of context, I focus more on his voice and like the overall, like you said, it sounds very triumphant, but you really feel like the emotional and the more melancholic aspects of the song come through when it's paired with that scene. So that was a really smart choice by whoever the music supervisor was for like picking that out and knowing that it would elevate that scene in the way it did.
Yeah, and I really, really like the scene when he, like, first calls him, and it's, like, Christmas Eve, and he calls him, and Tom Hanks is kind of like, oh, I know why you're calling, because, like, you don't have anyone else to call. But, like, Tom Hanks is also, like, sitting in his office by himself, like, also alone on Christmas Eve. And so it kind of gives, I think, a lot of added perspective to the characters and helps you understand them better simply because it's set when it's set. Which, like, it's a true story, so it is what it is. But at the same time, like, pulling that into the movie is definitely, like, I don't know.
They have the Pacino and De Niro relationship, as in Heat. You know what I mean? Like, they've got the, we need each other. You have no purpose without me kind of a deal going on.
Yeah. That is my favorite trope.
And it makes the movie, I think, for sure, because it is a very, like you said, it's a true story. So they could have played it very straight, I think. But that emotional, that relationship at the center of it really keeps you invested. Yeah, I would say this is, to me, I think you said this, Kayla, like, this is not as much of, like, I need to watch this in December as Little Women is. But it is one where it's like, if I'm thinking of movies to watch, maybe I'm not feeling like I really don't want to watch another movie with Santa Claus or Carolers or anything. Like, it's a good, I think, one to grab that when you're kind of still want something Christmas in the movie, but it's also just like a good movie on its own. And it's not beating you over the head with, like, the, I don't know, Jingle Bells and, like, a million Christmas carols playing in the background. Like, it can fill that void pretty well.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the apartment?
I always want to talk about the apartment.
his brothel.
I'll make you my pitch right now. This is a great movie. It's similar to Catch Me If You Can. I would say you don't have to watch it at Christmas. I do think it feels more Christmassy to me because a large chunk of it takes place at Christmas without breaks. So you do have, kind of like It's a Wonderful Life, less so just in the way that the execution, but it's similar where it's like the latter half of the movie, or maybe like the last third of the movie, is at Christmas time or set in December. And so I think because you get to sit in that time, the Christmas season and the holiday season more in this movie, it feels a little bit more like a Christmas movie, but not enough that I would, like, not be able to watch it another time. I think this is the perfect movie for, like, December 26th. That is the perfect day to watch The Apartment. Because it's like, I think it really captures that, like, post-ish Christmas feeling when you're stuck inside with, like, your family. Like, people aren't going to work. People have taken off work, but, like, it's not, Christmas is over, so you're not opening presents. And so it's just like the very monotonous routines of, like, playing cards for 2 hours and just that feeling of being stuck in one place with someone on the holidays or with a few people on the holidays. So I love that aspect. And then it also includes New Year's scenes at the end. And it's it ends at New Year's. And so I think it also works for December 26th because that, like, is the next thing you're looking at is the new year. And so it really captures that feeling of between, like, the 25th and the 1st. I think that is where this movie is best placed for me.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. I think it's also, like, I was not expecting it. When it was added to the thing, I watched the trailer, and from the trailer, I didn't get at all. I was like, all right. And then I watched it, and I was like, oh, yeah, no, for real. Like, they dance, or they do hit you over the head with it in some parts, where they do dance around the Jingle Bells, but it's only for such a short time. Like, it's like, all right, now you've had the non-Christmas half of the movie. The rest of the movie, we're doing Christmas now. The screenwriter has been shot and we are filling in.
Like Christmas time, guys, like they had like an intervention. They're like, we don't know what to do with the script. Like, just make it Christmas. What are you talking
about? Yeah, MGM ordered a Christmas movie and they said, what do we have lying around? Christmify it.
Right. Yeah, it is definitely like a half and half kind of thing. You're right. Where it's like the first half is building to the relationships up to what they need to be during the Christmas portion. Kayla, what do you think about this one? Christmas wise.
Yeah, I mean, it's another one. It's another one that's interesting because, like, it really has nothing to do with Christmas. But there just so happens to be scenes that include Christmas. Like, there's a Christmas tree. There's an office Christmas party. Like, there's these things that have to do with Christmas. You know, the guy is at his family's house for Christmas with his family, and he's like, dude, why are you calling me? Like, it's Christmas. Right.
In his bathrobe, vibing in the bathrobe.
Yeah. So it's like it has these elements of Christmas, but it's not so focused on the holidays that it like takes you out of the actual movie. It's just like an added layer of the movie that like Christmas is there, which I think can be said similar, like we said with Catch Me If You Can, like it adds a layer to the characters of like the guy has to be with his family on Christmas, but this guy is alone on Christmas. So like he can, you know, take care of her, whatever. So there's kind of like these added things surrounding the situation that Christmas gives you the extra layers, but it's not so focused on Christmas that it becomes an actual like holiday movie.
Right. And it's like even the New Year's thing, it's like the theme of like rebirth or like starting something new. Like the fact that she dumps him on New Year's Eve, I think, is not like accidental. Like that adds something to it, too, where if it was just like August 3rd when that scene took place, it wouldn't have the same oomph to it. Whereas like I got to go with my family because I got to do the yearly barbecue. Like it's just like, OK, sounds good, but. Yeah, you're right. It's like Christmas as a character in the movie is a big deal. And I think like talking about essential elements, that's definitely one for me where it being Christmas in the movie, for me to consider it like somewhat even a Christmas movie, it has to have some role, right? Like it can't just be Christmas and it's just like, oh, it's Christmas, but this could have happened anytime. Like the Christmas season, the holiday season needs to impact the story in some way, where if this wasn't Christmas time, it would be either different, the story would be different, or I would be receiving the story differently, or it would mean something differently to me. It can't just be Christmas.
You're saying to fit into the almost Christmas category, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, obviously, if you're in the North Pole, then I feel like that's a given. Like, all right, it's the North Pole.
If it's the North Pole during summertime, like off hours North Pole, I think it would still be so...
This is going to break my brain geography-wise, but isn't the North Pole hot?
I feel like isn't the North Pole hot during December? Isn't that like Australia thing, right? Where Australia has late summer?
Probably.
Did we just discover a huge plot hole in Santa Claus?
Yeah, but the Santa Claus stuff isn't real. Like, like.
Well, obvious, but I'm just saying in movies.
No,
like, did they
no,
not,
but the...
Kayla's thinking like, guys, remember this.
No, it's not real.
God. It doesn't matter because the lore of the North Pole is that it's
Christmas. But do they not think about that where they're like, wait a second, guys, if we're really trying to be serious about this and really commit to the bit, shouldn't we pick a place that it's cold?
Oh, no, I know why I'm thinking that. It's because the South Pole is cold all the time, and so is the North Pole. Both the North Pole and the South Pole. So, you know what? I guess maybe Santa is real, actually. Our plot hole has been dissolved. You know what? I take it all back. He's beaten the allegations, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Santa Claus is beaten the allegations.
I feel like for it to be like where it crosses over from non-Christmas to Christmas territory is if a specific plot point hinges on it being Christmas. Because really, like, Catch Me If You Can could be set any time of the year. It only, like, Christmas is just an added element. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, it adds a different layer to the film. But like, Miracle on 34th Street, that hinges on a Christmas plot because Santa Claus has to be there for Christmas. Like, he's granting Christmas wishes. Or like, Elf, like, Buddy has to be, I don't know.
An elf.
Yeah. They can't have it be a leprechaun being
a leprechaun. Yeah, imagine if it was just called Leprechaun with Will Ferrell.
I feel like the other elements would be, it has to include, like, I feel like 70% of the soundtrack has to be Christmas music.
That's a
70%.
Lot. That's a lot of, I don't think, 70% of Catch Me If You Can, is it? Are we saying real Christmas movie?
Wait, back up. Are you saying,
what?
You're just saying of the music or of or of the soundtrack, like pop songs, like songs with vocals?
Like both. Because
really?
All the music. So, are you saying that it has to be an almost Christmas movie, it needs to be 70%, or to be a Christmas movie?
To be a Christmas movie.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha.
I was saying, Catch Me If You Can, An Apartment and Little Woman not 70. It'd be like probably 20.
No, to be a Christmas movie. To be a Christmas movie.
Okay, to be a full-fledged Christmas movie.
But
I don't know if I... Because I just feel like it's a very...
Because something like Home Alone... Okay, Home Alone could be set any time of the year, really.
No, it couldn't, because they go away for Christmas.
They could go away for any holiday.
They could go away just
for
vacation.
They could go away for spring break.
They could just go
away for fun. It adds an extra element because he's alone on Christmas. Same thing with Catch Me If You Can.
No,
he's alone
because
on Christmas.
Catch Me If You Can is not a Christmas movie. I'm saying for Home Alone, that storyline doesn't hinge on Christmas. Like... It is set at Christmas, but it could be set any other time of the year.
But what about the old man going to see his granddaughter sing? She wouldn't be singing in a concert if it wasn't.
She could be singing.
Well, that's not really
concert.
Integral to the plot.
He saves Kevin at the end, my guy. He saves
Kevin.
The day.
That's true. I haven't seen it in a minute.
And the robbers are robbing because everyone's going away for Christmas. That's why they're robbing all the houses, because everyone's gone for Christmas.
Yes, but it could still be set at spring break.
You forget. But Noah, you forget, he doesn't need to see his family, this old man. He doesn't need to, that doesn't need to be a part of it. They just said, you know what? Also, he's separated from his kids. He doesn't have to be separated from his kids.
He saved Kevin because Kevin helped him. It's a give and take.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is that the music, my whole point was that the music affects that movie.
That's
because
true.
All of that movie That's is true. John Williams specifically composed a score that is Christmas-based score and used Christmas elements, and then all of the songs that are used in it are Christmas songs. That's what I feel like adds the element of making it an actual Christmas movie.
And I will say I agree with you, but what if I told you that I felt like Little Women, the 1994 Little Women soundtrack, to me, sounded Christmassy.
It is a very Christmassy soundtrack. It's a better soundtrack
than
the new one.
But that's also doesn't, that isn't, I feel like it doesn't fit the other requirements. I feel like
sure.
It has to be multiple.
So you're saying it has to...
Two, are we saying? We need to meet two requirements?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would say it has to, at least meet two of the requirements.
Okay.
So Home Alone is set at Christmas, which could be a one requirement, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Something of the plot has to do specifically with Christmas. So you say, okay, their family's leaving on Christmas. That's the first thing. And then the second plot would be 70% of the music is Christmas music. So obviously this has Christmas vibes. But I feel like Little Women doesn't fit that because it's not part of the movie isn't actually Christmas.
Yeah, I feel like at least half of the movie needs to be set at Christmas. Because there's somewhere I think it can work, but maybe I would say at least half would need to be Christmas or the majority.
Mm.
For me, I've heard a lot of people say it needs to end on Christmas. I don't agree.
I disagree.
I also don't agree.
The climax... needs to happen on Christmas in the holiday season. The
within
climactic
Christmas,
moment
yeah.
needs to happen within the Christmas season.
So Christmas Eve or right before Christmas.
Or just even in December. It just needs to be in that season of the of the year.
Okay.
Really?
I feel like
for it to be a Christmas movie. Let me ask you this one, Noah. What if they're celebrating Hanukkah? Or Kwanzaa.
I said December. I said December.
December.
Holiday
happens.
Movie. December.
Oh,
doesn't Hanukkah start in December?
Oh, a holiday movie. Not a Christmas movie.
So the holiday movie
okay,
has
okay,
to
okay,
center
okay.
on the holiday that it's specific to. Yeah, we're all inclusive here.
We're all inclusive of all the holidays.
Okay.
St. Patrick's Day pro, as we have discussed so far.
Pro St. Patrick's Day. We're not anti the Irish today.
I am not anti Irish. I liked the Banshees of Erskine, whatever the hell it's called.
All right, do we have any other like Joe? Do you have any thoughts on requirements between the two?
For it to be okay between the two, I would say to separate them, an almost Christmas movie, and we've already touched on this, but I just have to be comfortable watching it in July. I need to be comfortable watching it in the, to me, the opposite season of Christmas is July, which, I mean, that's objectively true, I guess, if you look at a calendar. And I would say that all the movies basically that are popularly selected, other than like Die Hard, are movies that most people would be comfortable watching in July. Even Little Women, I think. Because, like, when it ends in, like, a springtime, kind of, and it's, like, raining and muddy. And that makes me feel like a full year kind of a vibe, I think. I don't really feel like it's a Christmas exclusive. I think what I'm learning is, in my head, it just has to have Christmas happen in it. If Christmas is on screen for, like, more than 25 minutes, then to me, that is an almost Christmas movie.
Right. It's like, I can watch this during Christmas and feel like I'm not being like, because it's kind of like with Halloween or like October, like I want to only watch horror kind of movies because it's like, it is the time of year. So I feel like if I'm not watching something kind of Christmassy in December, then I'm like wasting it. I'm like, why would I watch this now?
That's so interesting.
But it's like, if it has Christmas happen in it, then it's not a way, like The Apartment, like, hey, it's kind of Christmassy. So it counts.
Wait, Noah, this is just interesting for me personally. Okay. So for Christmas music, are you a person who can't listen to it like during the regular rest of the year?
Oh, no. I mean, it needs to be at least like mid-November, I would say.
Okay. Interesting.
I would say mid-November. I mean, I could vibe with like an early November if I really could wanted to, but I would say mid-November is when I start, kind of Thanksgiving. I mean, okay. I don't care if other people do. Like, I'm not offended. But don't play it around me in July. Like, I would say, keep the AirPods in.
Except for when you celebrate Christmas in July. Because, like...
I don't celebrate Christmas in July.
Okay, I do. And so, on July...
It's Christmas in December.
On July 25th, I listened to Christmas music this year. I put on like the Home Alone score, the Elf score.
Oh, but you're just going for the one day. I feel
like
that's different.
But it's only the one day. And then I think I told you this, Joe, but what I do when I'm like the in the in-between where it's like, okay, I'm not ready to like have all these songs on repeat, but I'm ready for Christmas vibes is I'll use jazz music as my, and I listen to jazz all year long. But I feel
just
like
jazz, Christmas jazz.
Jazz, no, not Christmas jazz.
Oh, just jazz.
But I feel like jazz is the best transitional music because it does feel like Christmas and you can make it feel Christmassy even if it's not Christmas jazz. But it also doesn't have to be Christmas. You know what I mean? But it gives you enough of the aesthetic
That's a good point.
Vibes
yeah.
of Christmas.
That's for me with all music from the 1940s. Any song that was written in the 1940s and recorded in the 1940s, I'm like, this is a Christmas song. They're like, what? They're singing about a sunshiny day. I'm like, no. No, it's not. It's a Christmas song.
That's not Christmas. I think I like the Sufjan Stevens albums. Like, not all of the songs because there's like 120 of them, but there's certain ones that are a good transition Christmas song for me. Mm-hmm. So I'll maybe start with those.
I mean, we're talking about similar era, also same director, same cinematographer, Janusz Kaminski. The Terminal, I use that soundtrack as my transitional period because like there's a song called like I think it's called The Goat, which relates to him. I don't
that
know if you've ever
me,
seen it.
Actually.
He wrote that about Noah. Basically every John Williams score sounds kind of Christmassy to me, at least in some parts of it. But that whole like there's a big chunk of that soundtrack that basically is an almost Christmas song.
Yeah, I guess one thing we can do is kind of touch on some of these other movies we have here and like why they don't fit into Christmas, like why they're almost Christmas or don't fit into Christmas. So like one person we can talk about is Shane Black, who directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Iron Man 3, and The Nice Guys. All three of which...
Does The Nice Guys have Christmas in it?
It does have a Christmas scene, yes. Do you remember the, like, there's stuff like around Christmas time, and then it's... Right.
It's not all Christmas.
But this is something that he does. And all three of these movies directed by him, he has this thing where he includes Christmas in his movies for an added element, but they're not Christmas movies. So, like, there are people that, which I think is awesome. I'm like, great, let's keep doing this. Shane Black, please. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But like Iron Man 3, you know, it's set around Christmas time. There's maybe like that one scene that like kind of is almost like Christmas and is snowing and whatever. And so it's like some people have said Iron Man 3. They'll be like, if Die Hard's a Christmas movie, then Iron Man 3 is a Christmas movie. And it's like, okay.
I just don't, I think this is fun conversations to have. I just don't like when people get mad about it. It's like, if you want to watch Die Hard, just watch Die Hard. I don't know why you need to convince me that it's like, it's a Christmas movie, guys. I promise.
It's funny to me how convincing you're being, because I want to know who you're keeping in your circles who's getting mad at you for watching.
No one's getting mad at me. I just hear other people getting mad, I feel like, or they get very defensive.
Oh, maybe it's an internet feud thing.
Yeah, I feel like if you want to watch Batman Returns at Christmas, you do not need my permission. You
no,
can
that's
just
good.
Watch Batman Returns.
I wasn't
Returns.
Going to ask it.
Good. Well, great. That's great. That is what I would prefer. Yeah, I think the Shane Black ones are fun. And it's varying levels, right? Like Iron Man 3, I have not seen in a million years. But I think that's the ending is... It ends at Christmas, right? It's not the whole
thing.
Yeah,
remember when Tony is like with the kid?
Sure. Yeah.
All that is set at Christmas. Like there's a Christmas lights and it's snowing.
I do remember the kid.
When he's in the town and stuff, that town.
The Iron Man movies are truly some of the most forgettable films I think ever.
Yeah,
created.
When he's in that town, it's Christmas and there's like the trees and he's wearing like the vest and the Christmas lights are up and it's snowing.
Okay, gotcha. And then Nice Guys is just a couple of times, like a certain point. But Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is like completely during Christmas season. But it doesn't always lean into like the iconography. Like Shane Black doesn't, I don't think. Because I think sometimes people will make a Christmas scene and it's very Christmassy and then it will shift. Shane Black, I find a lot of his ones are just like, it's Christmas, but it doesn't always feel like super Christmassy in those scenes. Like it just happens to be.
Yeah,
Christmas.
Which I read this something that he said, like I read an interview that he said, talked about it, where he was like, he wants it to be set at Christmas, but not like have that be the focal piece.
Maybe it's all a ploy. He's got us on a little string.
Yeah,
he's figured
right.
us out. This is how he's gonna do it. He's gonna create discourse by making his movies almost Christmas movies. He's a genius.
Yeah, really great marketing strategy. I would say that like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is one where like it just doesn't. No part of that movie really feels very Christmassy to me. So I would like rather watch like Little Women. Or any of the other ones we talked about before that, just because like I feel like I want at least some Christmas vibes. Being set at Christmas is great, but if we're not really interacting with Christmas very much, like if there's no like love in the air, no holiday cheer, I don't know. I feel like I need a little bit of
so
it in there.
How is the music in that movie? Is it Christmas music?
I don't think so. Not that I remember.
See, that's the thing. It's got to hit all the mark. I feel like it's just got to hit multiple markers. Because that's like The Green Knight, for example. Like this movie starts on Christmas, or like
and ends with a beheading.
And ends with a beheading.
Spoilers.
But it's like Christmas to Christmas, and it's this Christmas thing, and it's got Christmas going on, but it's not a Christmas movie because half of it is set like in the woods and like whatever. But there's not the Christmas music. There's not Christmas iconography. There's not like a Christmas thing that hinges on it being Christmas, apart from it being like, next Christmas, you will be beheaded. And so I don't know. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen that.
That's what I got said to me last Christmas. So I'm really nervous for this coming one.
You'll get beheaded. What
if they should like a parody? Yeah, of that.
The guy, the knight is like, yes. He's like getting ready to do it, and the guy's like, no, no, and then he's like, last Christmas, I told you I'd behead you if you didn't win the game.
What about like kind of two of the Harry Potters?
Oh yeah, I would the first two Harry Potters are very interesting conversation.
Yeah.
I think some people really say Harry Potter 1 they believe is a Christmas movie, which I don't know.
I
disagree.
I will watch it around Christmas, but I don't feel Christmassy when I'm watching
it. I feel like it's definitely a September through December movie. Like, that's when the vibes hit the best with that one.
Second half of the year, yeah.
But I don't think that it is a Christmas movie. Because there's, like, literally only one, like, the one, like, it lightly takes place at Christmas. But it's not, like, Christmas.
Do you think our forefathers 200 years ago thought that one day their great-great-great-great-grandchildren would be sitting in a room talking about what movies were Christmas movies or not? Do you think that is the future that they envisioned?
Here's the real question about this. Okay. Do you think our forefathers 200 years ago were having this conversation about like plays?
Yeah, like what is a Christmas?
What is a Christmas play?
100%, Kayla.
Like, I feel like it would definitely be like they were like, oh, we can't go see that during Christmas because that's not Christmas. Like, we need to go see Christmas Carol or like, you know what I mean? Like, they need to go see Christmas entertainment. Like, I feel like it's the same conversation, but about whatever the media was at that time because everything repeats itself.
That's a very grounded take.
A Christmas Carol wouldn't be out for another 61 years. So that would be
yeah, that's right.
They'd be like, we'll go to a church. Shit.
What was the Christmas media then 200 years ago?
Well, they didn't have anything because to bring it back to movies, did you guys see The Man Who Invented Christmas?
Oh, fuck.
Prior to A Christmas Carol, people didn't really give a shit about Christmas. It was like, all right, you got a trip. It was like Easter.
Interesting.
It was just kind of a thing.
So maybe I should say our forefathers like 100 years ago. Like,
then how... Sorry, I have a question then, Joe. Yeah? So if they didn't care about Christmas, then why did it matter that Christmas Carol took place on Christmas? Like, why was it a big deal that it was like, oh, they did, like,
well, because
this
I think didn't Charles Dickens make it a, like, he created, I think, the idea that Christmas could be like a transformative holiday.
Okay. But like, why did he pick Christmas then? I'm confused.
The true answer is money. He was hard up for money and Christmas was coming soon.
Valid.
And so then he was like, okay, I've got this book I can write. I'll write a Christmas book. And then he did. And it just so happened to be his greatest literary achievement. It wasn't necessary for it to be set at Christmas time. I don't think. I mean, I guess it is.
I think at the time it wasn't, but then it kind of, like I said, created, I think, the idea that Christmas stories need to have that kind of like redemption, goodwill towards men kind of shit going
on.
That's
also his whole thing. He says there's that speech where, let's see, do I have it? Hold on, just one second.
Wait, does he have the speech on the wall?
No, wouldn't that be sick?
It's like, damn.
No. Okay, wait. So
big Christmas Carol guy here.
He has, yeah, I literally have the book.
I have the book in the other room. All right,
I can't find
it,
but basically
all have Christmas Carol in our bedrooms.
Hell yeah. No, he has a speech where he says, like, Christmas is not another time when the rich would look upon the poor and see them as lesser beings. They would see them as like other men or something like that. So his whole shtick is anti-capitalism in a Christmas bow. But I think that was I think Christmas is just the vessel for his masterpiece.
Interesting.
No, definitely. Do you know that Charles Dickens was paid by the word? I heard that.
What?
Is that true?
I heard that. I think, yeah, he was paid by the word.
That really tracks with like some of like the longer books that I was forced to read in high school. Like,
I mean, that was how a lot of authors then were paid, was by the word, because most of their publications were done through like newspapers and stuff.
Because I feel like I read Great Expectations and I'm like, did he really need to describe this river for 3 pages, or did he just like want a little, like, did he want to like buy a nice coat that day? Like, he was like, you know, I could carry on this description for a bit longer. We're really getting way off track. Damn. Gremlins.
I've not seen that.
That one's set at Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know why people think Gremlins isn't a Christmas movie.
I'm going to keep it real with you. I don't know what that is. I mean, I've seen the image when you shake your phone if you're on the Letterboxd app after,
oh yes,
after 1 a.m. At least where, yes, I am, it's after 1 a.m.
It's a great bit. I love Letterboxd.
Me so much.
Is goated.
I was
a lot of people
expecting.
Say that this is not a Christmas movie, though. That's why I put it on the list.
No, I know. I agree. They do.
I would consider it a Christmas movie, actually.
Same. Like, when I watched it, I was like, why do people think this isn't a Christmas movie?
Okay, so we're on the same page. I would consider it a Christmas movie.
I think we have officially determined Gremlins as a Christmas movie, then.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Mr. Gremlin. I don't know who directed the movie. I think this has been a very educational exercise.
Yeah.
We've discussed art, music, Charles Dickens.
Before we finish it off, Noah, did we already talk about The Nightmare Before Christmas or no?
We did not. I think I have been on record as saying The Nightmare Before Christmas is a November movie.
Okay.
Because the majority takes place between Halloween and Christmas.
Did you mention it on the Harry and Sally episode?
We did.
Okay, because I was like, I know, I feel like I've heard them talk about it.
Yeah, I think Nightmare is one that I don't watch at Halloween, but I also don't watch at Christmas.
Same.
So I watch it in November as a transition movie. Like, it's my...
We are very specific about this. Like, I only watch Nightmare Before Christmas November 5th at 3 p.m.
But here's the catch with this. I'll include it in both my Christmas Letterboxd list and my Halloween Letterboxd list. So, like, I keep movies that I watch for both holidays in a separate list each year, and I'll put it in both because I feel like it's so, like, crossroads that it fits in both lists.
I've seen it once. I'm not going to watch it again. I don't think it's bad. I just don't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like
not
I don't
a big
like
Nightmare
the combination.
Before Christmas guy.
I feel like
Damn.
You have to vibe with it to vibe with it. You know
what
I mean?
I don't like the combination. I need space between my holidays. Otherwise,
sure. That's fair.
Why care about the holidays otherwise, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, like I said, great exercise. I think this is a great conversation to get started. We're releasing this right around Thanksgiving. So if you're looking for something to argue about at the table that isn't the recent midterm elections, you can talk about what Christmas movies are actually Christmas movies. And I think that would be fun. Like, this was fun. I think you can, there's so many opinions. We dove off into so many side roads, which always happens in every episode. That's not specific to this episode. And I think we learned a lot. I, for one, have left this episode changed.
Mm. Wow.
I'm a leprechaun now.
He's a changed man. A changed leprechaun.
I think our question of the week should be, what is your favorite almost Christmas movie?
Yeah, that's like, it's like a no-brainer question of the week right there.
Because maybe someone will pull something out of the hat that it's like, ooh, you're right. That is an almost Christmas movie.
What is another one that I'm just like trying to think, what could people pull out of it?
I tried to look at some, like, Letterboxd lists. Some people have some really, really random ones. Some people, like, Mean Girls is one that comes up a lot.
Because there's one scene of them dancing in Santa Claus. That is not Christmas. No.
Just
another
watch
one,
the scene at that point.
I've seen...
Just go to YouTube.
Like, Paddington, Grand Budapest.
Grand Budapest is wintry. I would say that is not an almost Christmas movie, but I would allow it if people wanted to watch it.
Hugo.
Oh, interesting. Is Hugo have any Christmas or is it just like the snow?
I think it's just the snow. Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Big Ezra Miller guy.
I'm a big Ezra Miller stan.
Ezra Miller hive.
Anastasia.
Okay, I would.
I love Anastasia. That's tough
because I mean it is literally just kind of Russia with a bunch of snow. But I would go to bat for it. Although honestly, that's just to watch that at any time of year. I'm not a stickler for that being a Christmas
Anastasia
movie.
Viewings.
I love yeah. Anastasia. Absolutely.
Joe, are you an Arthur Christmas fan?
One more time.
Have you seen the film Arthur Christmas from 2011?
I have not.
I think you would. I think you would like it, actually.
Arthur Christmas
is. We are. I need to do an episode on Arthur Christmas because we mentioned it so many times.
I know. I wish we could fit it.
It is on Hulu and Amazon Prime right now. To all listeners out there,
if we were not doing Avatar: The Way of Water episode, we could do Arthur Christmas.
I thought you meant like this Arthur.
Oh, I love Arthur.
Not the aardvark.
It's also on HBO Max.
He is an aardvark.
Okay, so it's this movie, Joe, where Arthur is like Santa Claus's son, and he's like the uncool son, like the nerdy son.
I've seen this.
Have you?
Oh, you have? Yes. Have you seen it?
I saw this in theaters when I was a boy.
Wow. Original Arthur Christmas fan are here.
I don't know. I don't remember whether or not I liked it, but was there like a lot of shoots? Like, things that went down chutes? Does that
yes.
oh, probably
mean anything
yeah, like
to you?
Presents like
maybe
presents.
I
yeah.
don't remember, but there
it was
like...
definitely a more that's kind of the point. It's more of like a
it's like an almost like action
North Pole.
It's almost like an action movie in a way.
Yeah, okay. Like the elves are like spies and they kind of like, and that's the point where Arthur is kind of bringing the home cheer, the homemade cheer. And Christmas in North Pole is very, it's very anti-capitalist. Like, Christmas has become very commercialized in the North Pole, very industrial. And so
what
Arthur really, he's just bringing the love. And then he becomes Santa, spoiler alert. He becomes Santa in the end because he's Arthur Claus.
Yeah.
What's a great is there movie. Any movies that are popularly considered to be just fully a Christmas movie that you don't agree with?
Good question.
I don't think so. I mean, I think most of the ones are like, I mean, A Christmas Story, like, obviously that's Christmas. Like, it's A Christmas Story. What are you going to do?
Are there
yeah,
any
I don't think
for
so
you,
either.
Joe?
I think, no, not at all. I mean,
I think the solid ones are, like, undeniable. Like, you can't deny that, like, Santa Claus 2 isn't a Christmas movie. It's Santa Claus 2.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's what the thing is. There's some really solid, yes, this is obviously a Christmas movie. And then there's a lot of gray area where you're like, it could be, but also maybe not. And that's, yeah, we'll ask that question is, what's your favorite almost Christmas movie? It can be something we just talked about. We could be The Apartment or any of the other two. Like, we could be whatever, or something we didn't talk about. We will be happy to hear any answer you provide. You can answer that on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all our socials, our website. There's a way on Spotify you can answer. Everything is in the show notes, and we will then read that answer in our next episode, which we don't have like a definite title, but we are just going to talk about a lot of the newer releases that have come out in the last month or so, which are a lot of them Oscar contenders, and also like Glass Onion, which is just like, obviously we're going to talk about Glass Onion.
Yeah, so Fablemans, yeah. Assuming Wouldn't we'll be able be to, well, we're both definitely seeing Glass Onion.
Yes, but I already got my tickets.
Yeah,
I'm going to try
my
best to see Fablemans. I'm very excited.
Yeah, just that's a tough weekend. So
it's
going to be tight to like kind of fit it in. So,
and I can talk about, like, I've seen Tar. I watched The Triangle of Sadness a few weeks ago, The Banshees of Inisherin. I don't even know how to say that last word. Inisherin.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And Strange World comes out, Bones and All. So, like, there's quite a few things.
Oh, Bones and All. Let's go. Timothy Chalamet, the cannibal.
Wouldn't it be funny if you guys snubbed Glass Onion? You don't even acknowledge it. You're like, I can't wait till we get a new one. God, Knives Out is so good. I can't wait till we get a... Oh, yeah.
It's in the title. It says,
yeah, it's like
the Glass Onion, Fablemans. And we just don't mention it.
That would be so great.
All right. And I think that's all for the episode, folks. Thank you for listening.
Joe, do you want to plug anything where people can find you or...
I mean,
your YouTube channel or
Joe_M_Miller is my like at on Twitter, but that's probably not going to be around for very long.
Yeah, I know. Will Twitter even be around when this episode drops? Oh, that would be crazy. Is the real question.
I actually wouldn't.
Yeah, next Tuesday. Here's the thing.
I wouldn't even dislike it that much. I feel like I've secured connections with everybody who I need. I've got people's stuff on other things at this point. But yeah, I don't know. You can watch my documentaries at joe_joemiller.xyz. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put those in the show notes. Hopefully that Twitter link will still be valid by the time this episode goes
Somebody
live.
Somebody else has it now.
It's a crazy world out there, man.
Wow.
I think that's all I have, though. I don't really got a lot left. I put a lot of energy into this Christmas discussion, and I think it's all out of me now.
Yeah, I think I'm all
petered out.
I feel like you gotta say like Arthur'd out. I'm all Arthur'd out here.
Yeah. I gotta go back and run my brothel. Brothels don't run themselves.
Well, actually,
guys,
they kind of do. Well, but that's another discussion. in a roundabout sort of way. Yeah.
Did we just figure out the marketing the what like the what
the secret,
business plan
the secret
the business plan
of
behind
the brothel.
Brothels how it works. It is time to end. Until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla.
Oh, and I'm Joe.
and
we're
your secondhand film critics.